Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm Ewan Spence, and my guest today is Alice Bryan. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. It has taken this long, but the Fringe has finally sprung to life. That final thing that we needed to make it feel like August in Edinburgh has arrived. Yes, it's raining very, very heavily. And I don't mean very, very heavily in a sort of, ooh, there's rain falling from the sky. No, I mean, oh, look, there's a t-shirt. Let's go right through it to the skin. Their skin, let's go right through that to the very core of your body. Or is that all the wonderful experience of arts and shows and fun and fury that we're hearing that is getting right into the soul of you? Well, it's a bit of all of that, really. Yes, the Fringe is here. The rain is here. The controversy is building throughout the Fringe. But we're here to give you just a little bit of flavour of some of the wonderful shows and acts that are on. So let's focus on that, at least for today's show. We may return to that as soon as I do discussions later on in the week. So for now, let's see, three things. One, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. That's our website. If this is your first time at the podcast, then you can go back there, listen to all our old shows, and find links through to the usual places of Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We have a link to PodNews' podcast directory, which has links to pretty much every single podcast app, from your Overcasts, your Player FMs, and your Pocket Casts, and your Antenna Pods, all of that. Direct links in there, back at our website. And if you go to one of those directories, then you can leave your own review or star rating for this podcast as well. Please do, if you have a couple of minutes spare. It helps other people find the podcast. And you know what? We're reviewing shows here, so why shouldn't we be reviewed as well? And the third thing, today's guest, Alice Bryan, from her own stand-up solo show, Brainstorm. Joining me now on the Edinburgh Fringe Show, Alice Bryan, not from around here.
No, I'm from New Zealand.
Yeah, but there again, nobody from Edinburgh is in Edinburgh at the Fringe this year, any year. We all disappear. Some traditions are maintained.
Yep.
So here with the show, Brainstorm.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about it.
So it's about me, and it's just me doing stand-up comedy for an hour, and the basic theme is that I've got some of the worst ADHD you've ever seen in your life, and so a lot of things that happen in my day-to-day kind of start off really relatable and then take a really, really ridiculous turn that ends up, like, I end up in quite funny situations. And then there's also, like, lots of really weird observational stuff. Not weird, but, like, funny observational stuff, just because my thoughts drift off a lot, which gives me a lot of time to, like, notice things that other people maybe don't notice.
Outside of the show, can you explain what ADHD is like to live with?
Basically, the type of ADHD that I have is called attention deficit hyperactive disorder, inattentive type. So basically, it's things like the symptoms are quite relatable to people. So it's just things like being really, really forgetful, never being able to concentrate, having like no impulse control, no ability to judge the consequences of your actions, and then like very intense mood swings. And everybody experiences those symptoms. It's just that people with ADHD experience them only, so there's never a neutral, and it's just catastrophic. So you go through all of those things every single day, and kind of with no way of managing it. And it can be really frustrating because you can be really, really smart at certain things or like really talented in certain areas, but you don't have the like skill set that you need to actually get it done. And so then if you get diagnosed, then for a lot of people like me, you end up taking medication that works really, really well, and so you can kind of function on a level like everybody else.
Was it a diagnosis that you got early in your life, or is it a later diagnosed ADHD?
It's quite late, yeah.
Wait, so when you look back on your earlier life, is it just like, oh, that's why I did
that,
that's why I did
that? Yeah, absolutely. And I talk about that a lot on the show. It's just kind of a lot of like the things that point out and the red flags and stuff like that, and then the way that I got diagnosed and how like that was catastrophic. So, yeah, definitely.
And because it was just, not fracture, but it must give you a 180 on the viewpoint of your own life.
No, I feel like pretty much the same, but when you take medication, it changes your ability to do things, definitely. So you recognize, basically, like a lot of people will say that if they get diagnosed and their medication works for them, it's like a ceiling fan just turns off inside their head, which is just kind of things like that. And it'll be without realizing, like you'll do something like get to an airport by yourself and no one will know to, like, no one will understand how impossible that was for you before. And now it's like super easy. And you're like, is this how the other half lives? They just, is this how it was like? You just get on a train and go off you go.
So why bring this onto the stage?
Because it's funny. It's really funny. There's like lots of different subjects and it's just super funny. And they, the people who are like, because I've never done Edinburgh before, they were like, you need to have a theme. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, everything I've come up with or everything I've ever done does, in the end of the day, like trickle back to the fact that I've got ADHD. So I'll just go with that.
So how long have you been doing comedy then?
On and off because of the pandemic, and then when I moved to London, there was like a year where no one even wanted to hear from me. I couldn't get a single gig, but then I got signed after that. So I'd say it's been about 5 years, 5 or 6 years.
And you were diagnosed before you started the comedy?
Yeah, I was diagnosed in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So are there parts of the discussions of ADHD that have come up in other comedy sets? Have you been sort of jigsaw building the show?
I've been kind of... Like, yeah, just that's just doing stand-up, isn't it? Like, you just go to a club, come up with an idea, do a joke, and it works really well, and then you go put it in your show. Yeah. So I guess so. But I think the ADHD thread itself is like, the ADHD thread is kind of inbuilt because everything that I do just naturally comes back to it. Yeah.
Has it given you a chance to reflect on anything?
Yeah, I think it makes me really, really aware of ADHD symptoms and like super aware of them, because I do the more and more interviews I do like this, the more I have to like explain it. And then every time I do the show and then after the show, people come up. So I think it's just I have become extremely well versed in ADHD, even though I'm not a doctor in it. People like will ask me like, do I have ADHD? And I honestly sometimes can be like, let's just see. I know the test off by heart. Let's run me through this. And most of the time people actually don't have it because the symptoms are really relatable. And then you just have to say something that's like really quite bizarre. And then they'll be like, oh no, that doesn't happen. And I'm like, yeah. It's things like my entire life, people have always told me that the volume of my voice is too loud and I can't control the volume of my voice. And people with ADHD also can't control the volume of their voice. So it's like the person that you're always trying to shush, like it's actually really hard for them because they don't know that they're yelling. And things like no matter how hard you try with just trying to like get a piece of paperwork filled out, you'll do it wrong over and over and over and over and over, and then you miss the deadline, and then it just, you kind of, it's these things that like people love to make up excuses about, but if you actually live with it, it's just completely detrimental. Like when I was at school, I was like failing everything, but I was really good at subjects. And I got diagnosed and started taking medication. And then I graduated with like firsts, even though I'd gone from failing everything. Like I wasn't even supposed to be able to get into university. So ADHD is like a real thing that really, really impacts people.
How does it impact the focus you need to do an hour at the Fringe?
Oh, so hyperfocus is a really interesting thing. So with concentration in the style of ADHD that I have, there's basically two ways that you exist. One, you're disinterested in something and it's really hard to stay engaged, and you can come across quite rude if you're like disinterested, but you're actually just, there's like almost a block there for that information to go into your brain. And then if you are interested in something, it's the other way. So you're hyper interested and you can't stop thinking about it and you can't stop working on it, and you'll just go and go and go without eating or taking a breath. So with stand up, because I'm interested in it, it's really easy. Just go, just off you go, done.
So if you had to describe that through line of the show.
Oh, I go kind of like, there's a bit at the beginning, then like this really funny story and all these jokes, and there's another thing that's really funny, and then there's another bit. It just kind of like pops up, and I basically just bring symptoms through so that you can relate to the jokes that I'm telling or the stories that I'm telling. But it's more like relatable storytelling comedy. It's very much not really about ADHD. It's about funny stories and just like good stand-up. And then there's this kind of really interesting twist to it compared to everybody else, because I've got ADHD, so it just gives it this kind of unique perspective that maybe a comic without ADHD wouldn't have.
What sort of an edge do you think that gives you against this mythical average stand-up?
I don't know if there isn't. Is there an average stand-up?
Well, yeah, that's why I've not named them. I've just went generic stand-up.
I think my style of stand-up is really different. So ignoring the ADHD thing, my style of stand-up is like storytelling and really relatable storytelling with lots and lots of little jokes through it that goes really, really fast and is about subjects that are quite unique. So I have a whole bit, and I don't want to give away my show, but I have a whole bit in there about seafood platters. I have a whole thing in there about potatoes. I have a whole thing in there about Jamie Oliver. I got a whole other thing. There's just like really weird observations that I tell in like stories. And I think the uniqueness and speed probably gives me the edge, I'd say.
And how are you finding the Fringe? Because it's rather chaotic.
I'm loving it. It's really fun. It's so expensive. I've never spent so much money in my life. Like, this was the most expensive thing. I've been selling out like most of my shows, but even if I completely sell out the rest of them, I still won't even break even to how much I had to pay to like do all this. So it's fun, but you got to take it as a holiday that you spend a lot of money on, because it's like, yeah, crazy expensive.
Surely there's a moment there where you're thinking, well, I suppose if you describe it as a holiday, you'd be quite happy to spend that sort of money on a holiday.
My sister keeps saying that to me. She's like, oh, listen, when me and my husband went on our honeymoon, we accidentally spent way worse at a bar in Barbados. So just listen, it's not the end of the world. And I'm like, fair enough. I guess I'm investing in my career or something like that.
What do you hope to get back from that investment?
Literally just what I've got now. I wanted to come up to Edinburgh without ever having been here before, because I know that a lot of people come up and they do a 50-minute or 45, and then they do a split head. But I want to just come here and be like, what happens if I just go and I just have my show and I sell it? Will people like it? And that seems to be happening. And so far, I mean, it could take a huge turn, don't get me wrong. I could plummet and all this, everyone could like sell their tickets and no one ever come again. But it's literally just for the feeling of like, can I do it? Will people like it? That's literally it. That's all I want to know. Because you've got to check. You need to check that you can, you've got to be able to pull this off.
And it's such a unique environment doing the show every single day. So many people coming in compared to the sort of let's do it every week at a comedy club.
Yeah, well, exactly. I put on a lot of shows in London as well, which is really fun. But it's just kind of cool to just experience, because this is a lot harder than it. So it's really easy to like sell out a show in London, but it is really challenging to sell out a show on Fringe because there's so many other shows going on at the same time. So if you can compete with that and pull that off, that's really cool.
And where can people see the show?
It's at Gilded Balloon Teviot at 4:20 every single day until I die. So for the next 65 years, I'll be there.
Or until the end of August.
Oh, yeah, also that. It goes to about the 28th, I think.
And for those of listeners outside of Edinburgh, where can they find you online?
Oh, just go to my Instagram. It's just my name, Alice Bryan. I put lots of like goofy stuff on there and it's fun.
And as always, we will have a link straight into the Fringe ticket office and to the Instagram as well.
Yeah, you go to my bio.
Yeah, so you can follow us at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. Get the links there. Follow Alice. Go see the show, and so on.
Yeah, or you could just turn up at my house. Anything, you know. Let's just get that ticket sold.
Alice Bryan there with her show Brainstorm. As always, links back at our website, deep breath, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com. Or if you have fortitude and strength and you have a travelling troupe of Dungeons and Dragons styled players with you, if you have a warrior, if you have a mage, if you have a healer, you may feel that you're able to challenge the immense complexity of edfringe.com, the official website, which this year is taking the place of the far more useful app, which only exists in a time warp in previous years. So, yes, go to our website, where you'll also have links into Alice's social media as well. So, edfringe.thepodcastcorner.com for today. For tomorrow, Finn Ross will be back with more work, more interviews, and more thoughts from the world of the theatre at the Fringe. And both Finn and I are now just going to head into Edinburgh itself. Whatever you're doing, I hope you have a great day with it. If you're in Edinburgh and you see one of these shows, then do say hi to the performer, tell them where you heard about them. If you see another show, then by all means, get in touch with us through the contact form at the website or even at thepodcastcorner.com to let us know your recommendations. And if you're outside of Edinburgh, well, maybe some of the people we interview are going to be touring, have social media presences, are on YouTube. You can find lots of ways to interact with them. Certainly a lot more than when we started doing this 17 years ago. Ta-ra for now. Catch you tomorrow. You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence, produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.